Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing to have a God that says, I am who I am? Isn't it amazing to have a God that says, I am more than enough? You know, there are moments within the Christian walk where, I don't know about you, but there's moments where I'm in my Christian walk and I feel like, you know what, God, I think I've got this. I think I'm doing pretty good with this Christian thing. I think I'm doing pretty good with this walk. You know, I'm not stealing. I'm not lying. I'm honoring my mother and my father. Like, I'm just like, yeah, God, like, I think I'm doing okay. And then God puts you in your place and is like, wait a minute. There's some things you still need to work out. Has anyone else have been there where you're thinking like you're doing good and then God just puts you in your place? And so God has been putting me in my place, and I'm going to be really transparent. Is it okay? I need you to just say in the chat, is it okay if I just be real today? I am going to be transparent and be vulnerable and just let you guys know what God has been dealing with me and has been just sharing in my heart. Yes, thank you. Because this is not easy. It's not easy, I'm going to tell you. So, God's been putting me in my place and has been telling me to work on the 10th commandment. So, who knows what the 10th commandment is? What is the 10th commandment? Does anyone know offhand? The 10th commandment, thou shall not covet. So in Exodus 20, 17, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your male servant, his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. You read it and you're just like, yeah, okay. So let me share my story. So I work full time, but I also own my own business. And so I help parents of school-aged kids who are just struggling and having a hard time with their children's behaviors. And so I help parents go from feeling very overwhelmed with their children's behaviors to then feeling confident and knowing how to be able to manage them. So I've started my business 5 years ago. And honestly, part of me sometimes is ashamed to even say that I started my business 5 years ago, because personally, I'm not as established as I was hoping I would have been by now. I'm not where I had dreamed I was going to be when I was like, this is my five-year plan. I am not in my five-year plan. I'm not making millions like I thought I was. I thought I would have a team. I thought I would be deemed, you know, the top 40 under 40. And now I'm over 40. So I'm like, God, well, that didn't work out either. So now I'm aiming for the top 40, over 40. And I've just been in this place where I'm like, okay, like, I don't understand. I thought by now I would have been able to quit my full-time job. My products would have been in stores. And it's been a very frustrating and slow process for me. And what's really been hard, the hardest thing I think for me is that, I've started my business with a lot of others, and we started at the same place, but I feel that they have succeeded. They've reached their five-year plan, and I feel like I'm still behind. Okay, so I'm going to go a little deeper and show us and share a specific story with you. So this is the story of my covet story. So There's another parent coach that I met online. She lives in Arizona. Her name is Marcella. And I met her online about 3 years ago. So again, she's a parent coach. We do similar things. You know, at that time on Instagram, we met via Instagram, and, you know, I had about maybe 1,000 followers. She maybe had like 500 followers. We would talk, we would share each other's content. We would talk every now and again. And then, one day, you know, she asked me if I wanted to collaborate with her and if I wanted to kind of be like an affiliate for this program that she was having. And I had said no, only because at that time, like, her affiliate program was very similar to a program that I had. And I thought, like, no, that's not, I don't think that's the best thing right now. And then after that, she just stopped talking to me, which I thought was a little strange. But that's fine. I was still following her, still, you know, checking in. And then I noticed, you know, she started TikTok and she was on TikTok. And then she grew from like 1,000 followers on TikTok to like 20,000 followers. And then she had like 50,000 followers. And then she is almost at 1 million followers right now. And she has, she sells like coaching programs and all these things, and they sell out like within seconds. You know, she has like 100+ followers on Instagram. And I'm like, God, like, wow, she is doing all of the things that I have wanted to do. And so I was like, okay, all right, it's all right, it's okay, right? So, you know, I've been all in my feelings about that, but it doesn't stop there. So for a while, I had to stop, like, even looking at her Instagram, because I was just the feelings that I was feeling when every time I saw her stuff. So, you know, I was looking on I have another really good friend, another really good parent coach, psychologist friend on Instagram. And, you know, we had done a few collaborations together, and I was watching her stories, and I see that her and Marcella are now doing this whole like month long, like, collaboration. And I'm like, really, really, like, really, God, now she's like stealing my friends. I'm like, okay, so great. You know, and again, so they were doing this whole like long, like, collaboration. They were like doing all this stuff together. And again, they were selling these programs together, and it seemed to be doing really well. And I was like, okay, so again, all in my feelings. Doesn't stop there. A few well-known parent coaches, again, invited me to this like inclusive or exclusive invite-only kind of like parent coach retreat for parent coaches. And I wasn't able to go. You know, I didn't have the money at the time. The timing of it also just didn't work out. So I wasn't able to go. And I knew a few of the coaches that were going to be going, but I wasn't sure entirely who was going to be there. So of course, this retreat weekend comes up, they're all posting on social media. Who do you think is there? Marcella. So I'm like, really, Lord? Seriously? Like, she's taken my friends. She's like, now she's at this whole, and I'm sure they're all gonna be collaborating together and doing all this stuff. And, you know, she was able to, you know, get that opportunity to be able to go and whatever. And I was like, okay, all right, God, like, seriously. So God's dealing with me. Again, I'm all in my feelings, okay? It doesn't stop there. So there's another parent, you know, that I have a really good relationship with, again, online, you know, for three or maybe even four years. We've known each other online. We've been talking back and forth. This is a parent who was a stay-at-home mom. Her kids are a little older now. And so she's been wanting to, you know, start her career again, get back out there, but she just kind of lacked the confidence. And so I'd had many conversations with her. I'm encouraging her and saying, you know, this is your time. You are ready. She wants to be a writer. And I'm like, go out there, you know, get your computer, start doing this. I would send her like information. I would encourage her. And she was like, okay, you know, I think I'm gonna do it. She wanted to practice a little bit. So she wrote a blog for me and she did amazing. And I was like, Lord, like, I would love to be able to hire her. When I have my team, I am hiring her. She's an amazing writer. right? So I'm encouraging her, you know, to get out there, start your career. You've got this, you can do it. A few weeks ago, she sends me a DM and she's like, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to apply for this job. I just saw that Marcella is hiring an administrator and social media person. And I was like, I read the message and I put my phone down because I was like, God, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? So she's like, I'm really nervous. And so of course I'm like texting reluctantly to this parent saying, of course you should go for it. This is your time. Like, if she could have seen, I'm so glad she couldn't have seen my face at that time because I was angry. I was angry. I was angrily encouraging her. If that's a thing. Okay. So, you know, she's like, oh, can I be a reference and all that? And I was like, sure. Yeah. Awesome. Go for it. So of course she, part of me, I'm not even, can I just be honest again, guys? Part of me is like, Lord, don't give her the job. So then, of course she goes for the interview. She texts me excitedly, Marlene, I got the job. I'm hired. And I was like, yay. So excited for you. Awesome. I can't even express like the feelings that I was feeling. I was so angry. I was becoming very angry and very bitter. And I was like, God, I said I wanted to have a team. I said I wanted her to be the first person that I hired on my team. This is what I said. And now you let Marcella hire her? Now, like, this is what's happening, God? Really? Why can't I have Marcella's success? Why couldn't you allow me to be able to hire her? Why couldn't I go on that trip and be able to have those opportunities? And I was caught into this. I wish, Lord, I'm feeling so angry. Why are you letting this lady live my dream? Have you ever felt like that? Like someone else has been living your dream? That someone else has been doing the things that you wish that you really wanted to do? And so that's the place that I've been at. And so one day I was like, you know, again, and I was in the car and I, you know, was leaving work and I caught the end of this sermon that was talking about covetousness. And they talked about how it reveals what's really in your heart and how it reveals how dissatisfied you are with God and what God has given you and how you're telling God that he is not enough. And let me tell you, I pulled into the parking lot. I remember it was at the parking lot at McLaughlin and Queen. There's a gas station there and I parked in there and I just started bawling. And I started asking God for forgiveness. God's been taking me on this journey of coveting and envy and comparing, and he's really been teaching me how to let go. So if that's something that you're struggling with, maybe now, maybe it's going to be in the future, this word, I hope, will encourage you today. So just in case you're like, oh, I don't really know what coveting is. I don't think it's something that I really, that bothers me, or I don't think it's something that I struggle with. Let me take a moment to tell you what covetousness is and what is envy. So to covet means to desire or wish for, to long after. So this is where you're intensely desiring a specific thing that someone has that you can't easily or righteously get. So coveting, that often sounds like, I wish I had that. God, look at that over there. Why can't that be mine? Or, you know, oh man, I really like my car, but I really like that person's car better. So Coveting is saying, I want the same as you. I want what you have. I want that. And if you're Jamaican, the Jamaicans call that red eye, right? When you're red eye, you're longing after something that you don't necessarily have. There was another thing that says, you know, panting after something. And if you think of, you know, a dog who is panting and look panting for their food and really excited about something, right? They're fixated on it. They're wanting it. They're longing for it. And they're waiting until they're able to get that thing. So that's coveting, wishing that you had that thing. Envy is a little bit different. So envy, when you're envying, it's when you don't want someone else to have what they've been given. So you don't want someone else to have what they've been given. So envy says, I don't want you to have more than me. I don't want you to be successful. I don't want you to have that car. I don't want you to have that position in your job. I don't want you to have all those kids. I don't want you to have all that, those marriages, that marriage. I don't want you to be able to have that. And when you're feeling unhappy when others achieve success, or you feel you need to constantly one up their accomplishments. So it doesn't feel good for me to admit these thoughts. And if you're feeling that, and if you've been there, it's not a good feeling when you're able to admit that this is where I'm at. But I want to reassure you, and we are not the only ones who have struggled through this. And so I'm going to take a moment to go through some Bible scriptures and some people who have struggled with coveting and envy. And it starts, even with Satan. So in Ezekiel 28, you know, we learn Lucifer, which means the star of the morning. He was the highest, he had the highest ranking position, right, in the angelic host. He had a great position of power and influence, but that wasn't enough for him. He was a fallen angel because he wanted the power and the authority that God had. He was envious. He wanted it. He didn't think, God, you shouldn't have all this power. I want that. It also happens with Adam, with Adam and Eve, right? And so in Genesis 3:6, where it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delightful to look at and the tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband and with her, and he ate. So there you have, right? There you have it. They saw it. They wanted it. They knew they shouldn't have, eaten the fruit, but they were envious. They coveted. I want that. I wish I could have that. I need that. There was Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel because God favored Abel, right? And he didn't like that. He was thinking, well, how's that possible? Why are you so favored, right? I want that. And killed his own brother. We see in the book of Joshua, Ai defeats the Israelites because Achan steals from the enemy. So in Joshua 7:20-21, it says, Achan replied, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent and the silver buried deeper than the rest. So there he was told, do not take anything. And what did Achan do? He was desiring and longing for it. He was like, no, no, no. Look at that beautiful robe. Look at those 200 silver coins. I want that. I need that. I'm going to take it. And as a result, what happened? The Israelites were defeated. Then there's David. We know the story of David and Bathsheba, right? So David coveted Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11, 1 to 4, which says, late one afternoon after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. And he looked out over the city. He noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told, she is Bathsheba, and the daughter of Eliab, and the wife of Uriah, and the Hittite. And then David sent a messenger to her, and went to her, and came to her palace, and he slept with her, right? So there you have, David didn't have to do that, right? But there David was, longing, intensely earning for something that he couldn't easily get. Then there's also the story of Rachel and Leah. So there is Leah, right, who's considered the ugly sister, that ends up having three sons for Jacob. And Rachel, the pretty one, gets very envious and covetous and feels covetous. All right. And in Genesis 29, 34 says, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. All right. And so we can see, you know, there's scripture upon scripture upon scripture. James, in James 4, 1 to 3. So James writes, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Do they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So as you can see, it is clear that God knows this is a struggle. This is a struggle for many, many, many in the Bible, many of us today. You know, it's, and to covet is such an important, you know, commandment. Sometimes it makes me wonder, like, why is it number 10? Like, I feel like it should be, you know, at the top, because to covet really is sitting at the core of all the commandments. When you look at all the commandments, you realize that coveting is the root, because when you're able to, when you're not coveting, it really, sorry, when you do covet, it really is the thing that will breed life into, you know, all the other commandments. So where it says, you know, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, if you're coveting, then you're probably having other gods before you. Coveting, you know, having no other idols. Murder, right? How many murders happen because the root is coveting? Committing adultery, the root is coveting. Stealing, false witness, right? All of these things, the root is coveting. So this is a very, very important sin that we need to keep in check. So, you know, again, I just read a few scenarios in the Bible where, you know, some of the characters in the Bible battled with coveting and having jealousy and envious feelings. And I think of those people in the Bible and how hard that, you know, it was for them. And they didn't even have social media. Right? Look at the struggles that they had, and they didn't even have social media. with social media, you're seeing everyone's life. You're seeing everyone's posts, right? You're seeing y'all just got married. You're seeing the pregnancy photos. You're seeing the new car. You're seeing the vacations. You're seeing the new career. You're seeing the family photos, new home. You're seeing it all. And this is not something that just adults struggle with either. This is something that children, we see in children as well. And, you know, as a parent, this is one of my pet peeves as a parent, is when, you know, my kids covet, when they just seem to be longing after something else. You know, it's like you take them to McDonald's and they're like, oh, I wish we could have gone to like Kelsey's. Or when you buy them, you know, the one scoop ice cream, and they're like looking at the kid with the three scoop ice cream and the sugar cone. And they're like, I wish I could have had that, right? And it just was like, man, you just feel like you are so ungrateful. Why are you always longing for what you don't have? Stop being so red-eyed. And so I'm so grateful that God is so patient with us. But we are in this era where it seems like it's impossible to be content and happy. Everyone wants everything, but yet no one is happy. And if we continue to go down this road, it will lead to destruction. So Dayspring, God is calling us into a state of contentment. He doesn't want us coveting our neighbor's careers, our neighbor's businesses. He doesn't want me coveting Marcella anymore. He doesn't want us to be looking at what everyone else has. He wants us to be happy with where we are today, now. So what does it mean to be content? To be content, or to have contentment, means to be satisfied and pleased with where you are now. Now. I love the Cambridge Dictionary definition of contentment. And it says happiness. So it says contentment is happiness and satisfaction, often because you have everything you need. Let me read that again. Happiness and satisfaction, often because you have everything you need. Whew, okay. So in Philippians 4, 11 to 13, Paul says, "For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me." So here Paul is saying, doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter whether you have the latest iPhone or you're still trying to use your BlackBerry, be content. It doesn't matter whether or not you have a fridge full of food or you're making mackerel and dumpling every day just to get by. He's saying, be content, because you can do everything through Christ. Like, I'm just thinking, Paul, man, God, how do I get to that? How do I get to that place where I'm just feeling content? And what really brings me assurance is, you know, in that scripture, God said, Paul says, I learned the secret, which then tells me that, okay, this is not something that we're born with, right? This is not something that is just comes naturally per se. This is a process. This is something that we have to learn. It's something that God will bring us through. God will take us on this learning journey where he teaches us this process of being content. And in order for us to learn this process, we have to have things taken away. We have to see what it's like to have much and what it's like to not have anything. We have to see and check those feelings of when someone else seems to be living your dream. And so, as I had mentioned, God has been taking me on this journey on getting rid of covetousness and being content with where I am now. Where I am now, those have been my prayers. Lord, show me what I need to do. How can I be content with where I am? I know you have given me so much. You have given me visions and dreams. And I know that you are going to show me those things in time. But help me to be happy with where I am. Help me to be happy with Marcella's success. Help me to be content and satisfied with where you have placed me today, right now. And so how do you get rid of this? How do you get rid of envy and covetousness and become more content? And so God's been leading me to this journey of repentance and putting God back on my priority list. And those moments when you feel like you're slipping away and you're replacing God's wants with who you are, you're replacing God's wants with your own wants, because that's really what you're doing. What you're really saying is, God, you don't know what you're doing right now. God, like, you clearly are not going by my plans right now, right? And so when you're feeling that, it's time to repent. When you're feeling that you're just constantly focused on what you don't have, it's time to repent. It's time to take a heart check. It's time to talk to God with an honest heart and share your discontentment. Share where you are, where you're at. And remember that God's got you. In Matthew 25:34, 34 to, sorry, in Matthew 25:34, it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about life while you will eat, drink, or about your body while you will, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? And in my sense, God's saying, and why are you worrying about Marcella? And why are you worrying about your success? Consider how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was adorned like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? How many followers am I going to have? Who's going to buy my programs? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? For the Gentiles strive after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble on its own. God has us. God is more than enough. Our contentment comes from God. Our joy comes from God. Our peace comes from God. Our success comes from God. Our house is going to come from God. Our children are going to come from God. It's going to come from God. It all comes from God and His timing. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can confidently say, the Lord is your helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Even now, as I read this, I know that God is speaking to me. It is just time that we are in a place where we stop looking all around us and we prioritize and we remember who our God is. We remember that waking up every day and being content is a choice. It is a conscious decision that we are going to have to make daily. It doesn't mean that we don't set goals. It doesn't mean we have to live a mediocre life. It doesn't mean that we, are not going to want change. It means that we are going to be content and we are going to be happy with where we are right now. Whether, again, it looks like what we thought it was going to look like, we're going to remember that our God is in control. We are going to remember that God is more than enough. And He says in His word that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He says that He is our helper, so we don't need to fear. So we have to remember that God's got us. We have to be content and be happy with where we are. So, in Galatians, it's also, again, when we put God first, when we repent and just, be honest with where our heart has been with God, the next step is to remember who you are in Christ. Who has God called you to be? And this is where something God was dealing with me. And He was saying, stop watching all these people, Marlene. Stop envying, Marcella. I have called you to be Marlene Spence. And this is what you are going to be doing. And so remember where God has called you to be. Don't get caught up in wanting and wishing other people's things and positions and success. And forget who God is and who He stands for. It's not about what you can have, but it's about who you are. It's about who God has called you to be. It is about the gifts that God has called you to have. God does not want you to be somebody else. God has called you to be you. Galatians 6:4 says, It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. I'm going to say that again, Genesis 6:4. Pay careful attention to your own work. Focus on you. Focus on what makes you unique. Focus on what God has asked you to do. There's a saying at work that we often say, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane that God has destined for you. pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. And I love Galatians 1:10 that says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. Oh, Lord, deliver me from wanting to win the approval of people. And help me, Lord Jesus, just to focus on the approval of you, Lord. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Whose servant are you today? Check yourself. Whose servant are you? I had to check myself and realize, God, I am your servant. I am on your path. I'm going to let you direct and lead me today. This is not about me trying to run a race with anybody else. This is not about me trying to compare myself to anybody else. This is not about me trying to desire or long for anything else because I feel like I'm missing out. This is not about me wanting something else that someone else has. This is about me, Lord God, putting you first and knowing that you, Lord God, once I have you, that you are my strength and you are my joy and you are my peace. This is, Lord God, remembering that it is not about my timing. It is about your timing, Lord God. This is about me remembering that I don't need to be envious. I don't need to covet other people because you have a plan for me, Lord God. In Matthew, Hebrews 13 says, 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and So God didn't create you to be a copy of anyone else in this world. Can I say that again? You are not supposed to be a copy. You are an original. Remember that. Your path is original. It is made just for you. Remember who God says you are. You are a child of God. You are strong. You have been chosen. You are important. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're powerful. You are loved. You are God's masterpiece. You are precious in his sight. So I'm going to just wrap up in prayer, and I'm going to just pray for those who maybe resonated with this, who have been on this journey like I am, where you're recovering from envy and covetousness, and you're wanting God to just remind you of who you are. So join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for being the God that is enough, for being the God that brings us joy and content.